All right, let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you. What an amazing thing you're doing in us and through us and for us. And Father God, I pray that our eyes be open, that we can receive from you today, from your word, what you need and want us to receive so that we can continue to become what you've called us to become and do what you've called us to do. We give you praise. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. I want to key in on a verse that we've been talking about. Because more than a verse that's used during the holidays, I believe this is a verse that we should use every day. There is some powerful truth in this scripture. Now, the Bible's interesting enough that you can read one verse and read it more than once, and over time, you'll get more different things out of it. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what happened. As we were going over this one verse on a particular Sunday, more just started coming alive to my spirit, and I thought, I need to key in on this. And I believe it helps us even as we move into this new season. And, you know, because one of the challenges is any new year, and one of the things that hopefully you do is kind of like a new year's in a reevaluation time. What do I need to do different? What do I need to do better? What do I need to do different? And maybe you develop resolutions, and a lot of times if you've made some new year's resolutions, and it's today's the third, so you probably have broken half of those. You know what I mean? Giving you the consideration that you haven't, you know what I mean, messed them all up. But you know what I mean? It's just like New Year resolutions or goals at the beginning of the year or something that we've all done, but how do we get that sticking, staying power? How do we go from just, I got a good idea at the beginning and I'm excited about this in January and I'm going to start doing this better, and it might be in any area. I'm going to save my money, manage it better, spend less. I'm going to eat healthier, and I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to go to church more consistently, read my Bible. There's a lot of good things that we can come up with if we just sit down and think about it. It's not coming up with the new thing that we need. It's the doing the right thing that we need. How do we do that? Not just over a short period, not just a season. Because I don't know about you, I've been down that cycle, and it's like a vicious cycle. It's like going around the mountain 100 times if you've ever been there. I mean, I can exercise to lose those 2 pounds, and then I go to the buffet to celebrate, and I put on 10. You know what I'm talking about. There's something wrong with the thinking, the system here. But there's a way for us, I believe, in if it's the church world in life, where we can have a staying power, if you will, a consistency, a sticking power that allow us to go. One verse says from glory to glory. I believe like stair step, one level to the next. Not just like a roller coaster that goes up and comes down. I know with all this rain, I saw a picture on Facebook. Side note, did you see that the Screaming Eagle at Six Flags is halfway underwater? They had to shut it down because of all the water. I think they should open it up and make it a whole different ride. Wouldn't that be cool? 60 miles an hour, splat. Well, anyway. So, you know what I mean? Some sticking power, staying power from level to level. Proverbs says that the just or the righteous shine brighter and brighter until that last day. See, God doesn't want you to have a high and like a roller coaster come back down. Woo, good week. Back to normal. Someone will look at you and say, oh, they're exercising. Give it a couple months. They'll be back to normal. They're being nice to everybody. Give it a few weeks. Back to normal. They're going to church. Give it some time. Back to normal. Well, I want to know, how do I create a new normal? How do I create a new normal so that my normal that I tend to come back to is greater than the normal that I used to go to? This first scripture, and again, we've been doing this on the prior series, God with Us, but I want us to look at it. We can throw it on the screen. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Say, God with us. And in the context of that series, again, that was a seasonal Christmas. It's an important message. But I want to draw something out of this that goes beyond Christmas, I believe, is beneficial to us in this new year. And the three key phrases I'm going to draw out of this, besides God with us, I want you to notice these phrases. The first one is shall be. Say, shall be. Next one is shall bring.
Shall bring.
You guys are good. Next one is shall call.
Shall call.
Notice this again. Shall be, shall bring, shall call. Shall be, shall bring, shall call. First part, we talked a little bit last week. God wants us to be something, not pretend to be something. We can look at that in the context of Christmas and packages. That's like someone bringing you a present, and they set it under your tree, and it's a big box, and it's you mean just wrapped beautifully in a big old bow and it looks great and you think, wow, what is it? And you open it up and it's empty. See, it looked good, but it was empty. That's what happens a lot of times in the church world. I've grown up in the church and I've seen my fill of people who pretended to be, but they were just empty. They looked important, but they were empty. They looked like they had it all together, but they were empty. They looked like it's of great value, but they were empty. And it don't need to be that way. Because God doesn't want you to act beyond who you are. And if you find somebody today that you start talking to and they've got it all figured out and they're perfect, most likely they're pretending. Because we've learned in the church world, we've learned, the people have learned in the world how to fake it until you make it. And I'm not saying that you need to go around and say things that you're dealing with, but the reality is that all of us should be growing, learning. No one's perfect except for Jesus. And when you can come and get comfortable with that and get comfortable in your own skin, you can realize, wait a minute, I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. That's called humanity. John 2, Jesus did not commit himself to people or humanity because he knew what was in them. He knew it is a reality. If you get comfortable with, I'm not perfect, Jesus is, but I'm growing. That doesn't say that you can go and live any way you want and do things and live in sin and, oh, you're committing adultery. Yeah, but I'm not perfect. I'm not condoning sin. Romans 6 is very specific. Now that you're free because of what Jesus did on Calvary, does that mean that you can go back into sin? And Paul says, God forbid. Because if you go back to living in sin, you go back to being in bondage to sin. And that's not the plan of your Heavenly Father. He wants you to be free. What I'm talking about is us being genuine and real in our relationship with God. I mean, we can get to where we fool enough of people that we think that we fool God. God sees it anyway. God sees it anyway. We need to be real. One of the things that will help you in your walk with God is be real in your prayer. Be real in your conversations with the Lord. You need to say, God, they hurt me. I'm offended. I'm kind of mad. And right now, I don't even want to pray. I need your help on this. I mean, be real. He knows it anyway. And when we're real, we're more open. And when we're more open, he can do more with that than when we have our facade on. Because the goal is for you to be something, not to pretend to be something. When we pretend, there's no lasting power. There's no substance. God wants you not to conform. The Bible says don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God wants a transformation. And there's such a conformity that we can conform to the secular world, but I'm convinced that we can be conformed to the church world. I should say it this way, to the religious world. Now, if you're a first-time guest, let me clarify that. Here's how I define religion. I define religion as man's rules created by man to get to God. It doesn't work. It's a burden. It'll weigh you down. I'm not into religion. I am into a real relationship with Jesus Christ. If God is real, and he is, and if he can do anything, and he can, don't you think he can make himself so real to you that the way you process, the way you experience, the way you think, that you can have this head-on collision experience with God and know for yourself that he is real and that he is your Lord and Savior? See, that's salvation. Jesus said, Revelation 3, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. He doesn't want you to act like a Christian. He wants you to be a Christian. That's why I always tell people, if you start a joke with, maybe you shouldn't tell the joke. God wants you to be, not to pretend to be. Amen? Yes. Notice, though, if you're not something, you can't produce it. You can't share it. You can't give it. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I've given to you. It's like a woman trying to have a baby, but she's not pregnant. What are you doing? I'm in labor pains. No, you're not. That's indigestion. To the 10th degree. Why? Because you have to be pregnant to give birth to a baby. Right? If you're not pregnant, you can't give birth. If you don't have it, you can't produce it. If you don't have it, you can't produce it. See, that's the goal. It's not for us just to read about something or celebrate something. It's in Matthew 13, the whole concept is the word is a seed, and that seed goes into your heart, into your life. And over time, as you obey it and believe it, it begins to produce faith. Romans 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And that faith produces the fruit, the change. A change. If you take seeds of an apple, and you want an apple tree, and you plant it in your backyard, you can know, oh, I'm going to have some apples one day. Neighbors walking by see nothing. You know apples are coming. Neighbors don't see nothing, but maybe a little dirt. One day it starts growing. You think and see apples are coming. Neighbors see maybe a little bush, a little fig. It gets taller. It becomes a tree. You see apples. They see a tree. They don't know what it is. But one day when it begins to produce fruit, they'll walk by and say, look at those apples. Malachi tells us that all nations will call you blessed. That means people that don't even know God, people that don't believe in God, people that don't even pray to God will see a change in you. See, what happens in the church world, we'll be satisfied with the celebration of an idea that he can do something, but we're not bringing anything out so that people can see that he is doing something. And it's just not, if I have to tell you what God's doing, then that's a limitation of the boundaries of what he can do, because he wants to demonstrate through your life that he can bring a change that even others, they shall call. They, whoever they are in your world, will see that there's been a change in your world. It starts on the inside. God begins on the inside, and then he begins to change the outside. See, a lot of times in the religious world, we just want God to change the outside stuff, but we don't want him to have access to the inside stuff. Don't shout me down. Can I get an amen? Can I get a better amen? But it's learning to say, God, I'm opening up my life. I want you to change from the heart inside out. You say, what's that got to do with maintaining goals? What's that got to do with living another level? It's the idea of not trying to imitate something, but to become something. So that your new normal is greater than your current normal. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth the son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. They shall see it, and they shall know that it is God doing something inside your life. That's not demonstrated on the outside. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was what? Was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh. God wants the seed of his nature, the seed of his Word that's planted into your life to become manifested in this world. How do we do that? How do we do that? How do we bring this process out? I want you to notice a couple things. Gospel of John, chapter 1. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And the key word, phrase I want to draw from there, he gave them what? He gave them what? He gave them what? Power. What we have to come to the conclusion, what that will help each and every one of us, is to realize that on our own, we cannot do it. On our own. We have limitations. That's not a cop-out or excuse to allow you to do what you want. It's the reality that for you to do it, you cannot do it on your own. Church has to be more than a self-help group. If we're not careful, in some circles, it's good instructions without God. And good ideas without God bring frustration. Because I keep trying. And I just need to, people in that cycle, you know what we tell ourselves? I just need to try harder next time. I just need to try harder. If I just try harder next time, then I'll be able to reach it. And you need to do something. Because James says faith without works is what?
Faith.
Another translation says faith without works, or faith without your obedient actions, brings no effect, no change. So if faith without works doesn't bring a change, faith with works brings a what? A change. But why? How do we get there? We got to realize that you cannot do it on your own ability. You have to move beyond your best. Say, God, here's what you placed in my heart to do. Here's where I believe from your word. You're showing me how you want me to live. You want me to love people, not only good people, not only people who like me. Jesus said, if you just like the people that are nice to you, why are you different than the rest of the world? They do that. Try loving people that don't like you. How about if I just stay away from them, Jesus? Can we just call a medium ground truce here? It's like the guy who was praying said, Lord, I want you to know that today I haven't sinned. I haven't yelled at anybody. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't done anything that would offend people. But now I'm getting ready to crawl out of bed. And so it's like I don't have a problem until I run into people. You know, sometimes it's people that will push your buttons. And all of a sudden those things that you thought you had a handle on, all of a sudden you've lost the handle. It's like, where'd that come from? I'm about to lose my patience with you. No, you're holding anger down. You're not patient yet. You're holding frustration down. You're managing that internal. But there's a place that God can develop that peace and that patience and that joy and that love on the inside of you. And you're not acting like you love people. You actually have God's love on the inside of you. Loving people sometimes are pretty hard to love. Because you cannot love people that are unlovable on your own. Let's just be real. When you come to the reality of, oh, I love them. No, you want to kill them on the inside, right? I mean, God knows your thoughts. You're thinking, God, turn around and I'll deal with it and both of us will be resolved. That's what you're thinking. No, that's not the best. You said, but I didn't say anything bad, but God even looks at your heart. Right? That's getting quiet. I mean, Jesus is the one who said that it's been said in the past you shouldn't commit adultery. I say that if you look in your heart at a woman and commit adultery with her in your heart, wait a minute, you haven't done anything, you haven't said anything, but it was in the... So we'll leave that for another time because I think I'm freaking some of you out. Because there's a level of new normal that God has for you that's greater and better beyond your best, that we need his power. We need his power. Church, I'll be honest, in some circles, it's almost alarming because we've taken God out of this. There's no talking about Jesus. There's no talking about the presence of God. There's no talking about the power of God. It's all about here's the five steps you need to do to be better in any area. How to manage your time. Praise God. You need to know how to manage your time. But if that's all you're getting from the pulpits around the world, we got issues. There's literally, I don't know if you've heard this and I've shared it before. There's literally an atheist church out there. They have a church building. Or a building, they meet every week. There's a band. And the band plays popular secular music that they all clap and sing to, I guess. After the band leaves, catch this, then someone comes out and talks to them and motivates them to be a better person. And then they also do community outreach. Sounds like a church. The only problem, there's no Jesus. People are doing church without Jesus. I'm telling you, there's a lot of Christians trying to do life without Jesus. We need God with us. Just not at Christmas time. Just not when you prayed the sinner's prayer for salvation. But a part of this life, I need you. I cannot do this life. Help me, Jesus. Because right now I'm angry at that person. Help me, Jesus. Because right now I don't want to forgive that person. Help me, Jesus, because right now I don't want to go to church or to give an offering or to help my neighbor or whatever it might be. Being real with yourself and being open with God and say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I need you. I need your power to make me who you want me to be. To those who received him and believed in his authority, to them he gave power. We need that power. His presence, his power in your life. Are you listening to me? The presence of God, loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Serving the Lord with all your heart does not, listen to me, does not make you weird. Does not make you weird. Some of us have come up and we've been in, maybe when you're young or different times, you've seen people that were spiritual leaders and you look back and you're like, man, they were weird. And people start thinking, well, if I'm going to be spiritual, I have to be weird. No, hear me. I'm not bashing the individual or their heart. I'm telling you, they were just weird before Jesus. Before they met Jesus, they were weird. He's working that out of them, but they were weird before. Never connect being spiritual with being weird. See how quiet it gets? Because what the devil has sold to some of us is that we can't really love the Lord with all our heart, because if we go all in, we're going to be weird like that person. And I don't want to be weird. Man, if I go all in for Jesus, he might ask me to sell my house and move to some country with not even Wi-Fi interconnection. Helping people that I don't even want to help. No, that's not how it works. When you go all in for Jesus, if he calls you to the mission field, you'll have a burning passion to go. Not a, oh, I guess I have to because I'm going to prove that you're Lord and I'm going to do stuff I hate. No, God places in you his desires. Do you know there's a verse that says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Some of us have taken that, if I please God, he'll give me the car that I want. If I please God, he's going to give me the job that I want. Really, that's actually saying, if you delight yourself, please God, that he will place his desires on the inside of you. Because the next verse says, commit your works to him, and he'll bring them to pass. What am I saying to you? Here's the ultimate goal. Here's the challenge. I want to encourage you to start making investments in your walk with God. The Bible says, strive to enter into his rest. Faith without works is dead. Matthew 13, sowing seed of God's word into your heart. Romans 10, faith comes by hearing, hearing the word. And this is just a few of a lot of verses. Galatians 6 talks about making an investment. What you sow, if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life. If you sow into the things of the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. Delight yourself in God. What am I telling you? Begin to make an effort to sow. Invest in the things of God. In your walk with God. Okay? James says, draw near to God, and then he's going to draw near to you. So to walk on water, you have to be willing to make the first step. I'm not saying find 20 different preachers and listen to all their messages and try to do everything they tell you to do. I'm saying start making an investment and let God lead you. My sheep hear my voice, they'll follow me. Step by step. God doesn't give you 20 instructions, he'll give you one. That's where we mess up. We'll find somebody who got 10, they walked out and their whole path was 10 steps, so now we try to do 10 steps. God doesn't do that way. He doesn't have a GPS and gives you 20 steps on where you're going. He just says, follow me. He just says, stay close to me. I'll show you the next step. Say the next step. See, we're looking for the ultimate overall plan. God, show me how to build my business. God, show me how to fix my marriage. God, show me how to get out of debt. God, show me how to get healthy. God, show me how to love people. God, show me how to experience you. God, show me. And he doesn't give you 20 steps, because with 20 steps, you know what you do, what we all do. With 20 steps, we move on with the steps and leave him. And without him, you can't do it. So you got to stick close to him. What do you want me to do? And I'm not looking for a thunderous voice. I'm not looking for a handwriting on the wall. I'm looking to do what he's shown me to do at that moment, at that stage. God, speak to my heart from your word. Because if you're looking for people to give you ideas, there's a lot of people in the world that give you ideas. But you need God to take his word as you're reading and make it alive. It's like we're trying to go to a bank and make a withdrawal, but we've never made any deposits. And we can't figure out why we're not just feeling God's presence and have a desire for God like we used to, because we went to church once every 3 months. I went to church Sunday. Well, good. You spent an hour in his presence that week. How many hours did we watch TV that week? How many hours did we do other stuff that week? I'm not saying you have to pray all the time. The Bible says pray without ceasing. That means to stay in an attitude of prayer. No one, I mean, in a 24-hour period, you're going to be sleeping, you're going to be eating, you're going to be paying bills, you're going to be hopefully working, you're going to be yelling at your kids. Come on, somebody say amen. So it's staying in the attitude, a position of prayer, being open for him to speak to your heart. But what investments are we making? I want to challenge you, especially January is a great time to do this, to impact the whole year. Start making some type of investment. And John chapter 15, verse 7. Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Don't try to figure it all out. Don't try to make it complicated. Just keep it simple for the day. Lord, what can I do? Maybe start reading the Bible if you haven't. Just start reading a little bit every day. Start in the Gospel of John. If you don't know where to go, don't start at Genesis. By the time you get to the begets, you're going to be gone. You're like, what's the begets? Just trust me. You don't want to go there. Right? Start with the Gospel of John. Just start reading a little bit every day. How much I read? Don't compete and compare. You just start. Start making an investment. And as you make the investment, you draw near to him, he's going to draw near to you. Make the investments. Spend time in prayer. Some of you veterans, oh, I read the Bible every day. Do a little more. Maybe pray a little more. Maybe spend some time fasting. You know, Matthew 6, Jesus gave three instructions to his disciples, and he didn't say if, he said when. When you give, when you pray, when you fast. Don't do it where it draws attention to yourself. Do stuff that's impacting, that's making an investment that nobody knows. Because the cool thing is not telling people what you're doing. The cool thing is letting people see the results of what you're doing. All right? When we have to, when we're all excited about, hey, I'm working out, you got to go tell a friend, I'm working out, you know, that's not going to last too long. Because you're all excited about the workout. Eventually you do it and it becomes, if you keep doing it, it becomes automatic. And when it becomes automatic, you don't, it's not that big of a deal because it's automatic part of your routine. And then you get excited when people notice, are you doing something different? That's when it's cool. They see the results. You don't have to walk in and say, look at me. No, they see the difference. God wants to demonstrate your life and an aroma of his goodness wherever you go, that because you're making the investment, it's not a, okay, God, I'm going to pray now. You do everything. No, faith without works is dead. Are you making the investment? Too many Christians are waiting for God to back up the truck, and God's saying, listen, if you seek first my kingdom, start making the investment. Spend time with me. If Jesus, the Son of God, anointed with the Holy Spirit without measure, had to get away to pray, why do we think we can do it without it? We'll spend 2 minutes in prayer in 2 years with a problem. Jesus spent time in prayer. And man, the demons were fleeing when he spoke. People were healed when he spoke. See, we get it backwards. I'm not saying I'm perfect. Nobody's perfect. We're all growing. But begin to make an investment and watch him begin to bring a change into your life. You'll be amazed. I'm telling you, you'll be amazed. Your experience at church will be better. Your experience in life will be better. It doesn't mean that it's a utopia and everybody's going to love you. Please get real. You're going to deal with. In fact, you want to find out where the devil's been hiding some stuff? Start seeking God with all your heart, and stuff will come out. I mean, you're like, what's their problem? I'll tell you their problem. They were a bad weed amongst your garden, and you didn't realize it. All of a sudden, they're, well, now I know what their problem is. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You thought they were a good friend, and all of a sudden they start freaking out for no reason. Well, you know, don't worry about that, because some stuff needs to drop off so that you can be your best. Some new things need to come so you can be your best. But 2016, let's charge this year with the idea, I'm just not going to, God's not a lottery ticket. He's not a drop a coin, pull the lever, and see what comes up. He works by principles. Start seeking God. Start making the investment. And watch it produce the fruit of change by his power. I mean, this will impact everything. Just not church stuff. Everything. Your health. Your finances. Your relationships. Your peace. Your rest. Your joy. I mean, God had to remind, even in the Old Testament, he had to remind them, listen, when you do it my way, you're going to be blessed. It's pretty obvious. Deuteronomy 26 to 28. Read it. But he had to tell him, when you do it my way and I empower you to be a better you, see, you're going to be a nicer you. You didn't think it's possible. I know, but it is. You're going to be a more loving you. You're going to be a kinder you. You're going to be a more forgiving you. You're going to be a more patient you. You're going to be a more restful you. You're going to be a more blessed you. And God said, when you step into this, remember that it was me that gave you power to get wealth. God will empower you. You could be a salesperson. You're going to be a better salesperson, amen. Better doctor, amen. Better businessman, amen. Better employee, amen. Whatever it might be in your world right now, God doesn't make you weird. God makes you better, more powerful. But you have to make the investment. Because you can't do it on your own. We need God with us. And you shall be. And when you are, then you can bring it forth. And when you bring it forth, then others will see it. And you can be not only blessed, but a blessing. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done.